tried, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice saying, Father, marks of the cross to save that child who is sin sick and lost.
And he steals the blood that saves from sin. It steals the blood that cleanses within from the highest star in heaven.
Those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through, but when the battle is over and my last song is sung, I'll go home through the blood of my Father's precious Son.
Yeah.
We might have a few announcements here last little bit. We've had most of the announcements on the screen. Got a lot of things on. One thing I will mention to you while you turn to the 2 Chronicles 32 is a couple weeks from today on May the 7th, we'll be having a fellowship meal after our 11 o'clock service. So I invite you to come. I know we had a lot of new folks that have come in last little bit. Give us another opportunity to have some good fellowship after our morning 11 o'clock service. That will be a covered dish on the grounds. Christy said, I don't like that dinner on the grounds, but that's what it is. That's what it's called. It's what some of the old-timers used to call. I guess I'm an old-timer. By the way, thank you for all the happy birthday wishes. I appreciate that for this past week. But again, it's just good to be in God's house. And don't forget May the 7th to bring a covered dish. We'll have a good time here at the house of the Lord. Don't forget our service tonight, Lord willing, either at 6 o'clock we'll be back. But 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, a lot of times when you say 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you've got to make sure. Sometimes folks turn to the New Testament, the 1 Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians. We're not in the New Testament, we're in the Old Testament here in 2 Chronicles. Of course, one of the historical books in the Bible. Of course, this text was during the divided kingdom that was split, that was separated. Judah was to the south and Israel was to the north. The capital of Jerusalem was down in Judah. And then the capital of Samaria was up in the north. By the time we read this in 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, the northern tribe has already fallen captive to the Assyrian army. And about 8 years have passed, and I may say more about that here in just a second. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, if you found your place, if you could stand with us and honor reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, the Bible said this in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 1, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, now make sure you get verse 7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Now that message right there, that word will preach without me saying much anymore. Now that's not the message of the hour. But notice what the king said, for there be more with us than with them. Visibly, they were outnumbered with the Assyrians, but Hezekiah knew something about the goodness of the Lord and how he had multiplied. Now look at verse 8. With him, and that is Sennacherib, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. Now boy, that's what you and I need. That's what I need. As an individual, that's what I need as a husband, that's what I need as a daddy, what I need as a pastor, what I need as a friend is to have the Lord upon me because He is our help, He is our source of strength, He is our enabler, and we certainly do need His help. And the Bible said, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. But look at the last part of verse number 8. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Notice that phrase, the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's pray. Father, as we bow God in your presence, Lord, again this morning, we say thank you, God, again for the opportunity and the privilege. Lord, just to bow our unworthy head, thank you for the good word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to empty myself of the message and the thoughts that you placed upon our heart for this very hour. I pray that you speak to every person, maybe one here today or one listening that is unsaved, unprepared for eternity. God, may today be the day of salvation. I pray for the child of God that's carried a heavy burden, a heavy obstacle, a heavy circumstance, heavy issue, God, in this place today. God, would you help them to tap into strength from another world? God, I confess that I'm nothing. You are everything. I pray that you get all the glory, all the preeminence now. We'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, we have read this text. I believe that thing has got moved. But anyhow, We have read this text out of 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, and as we look at this, I'll give you the title here in just a second, but the parallel text basically is what's going on. You go back into 2 Kings chapter number 18, and in chapter number 18, at this particular time as we've read 2 Chronicles 32, the northern tribe have already fallen unto the Assyrians. Well, how long has it been, preacher? Well, I believe the Bible gives us some inclination into that, and I'm thankful for parallel text in the Word of God. The other historical section, of course, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, as we look at, in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 10, the Bible says this: in the sixth year of Hezekiah, Samaria was taken. So Hezekiah's been king, according to the Word of God, in the sixth year, the tribe to the north is taken captive into Assyria. Then you go on a little bit further in 2 Kings chapter number 18 and verse 13, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Now from the sixth year to the 14th year, you can do the math, that's 8 years, Brother T.R., from the time that the north has fallen to the Assyrians, Samaria has been taken by the Assyrian armies. 8 years have taken place before Sennacherib comes in with his Assyrian army to do the same thing unto the people of God there in Judah and in Jerusalem. Now, if you know anything about Hezekiah, Hezekiah is probably the second best king that Judah ever had. Now, Hezekiah's grandson, of course, Josiah, was the best king that Judah ever had. But Hezekiah, the Word of God labels him as one that had did right in the sight of the Lord. Now, you can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, and Hezekiah's daddy by the name of Ahaz was a wicked man. Now you just read 2 Chronicles 28, the Bible said that he had the doors of the house of God shut up. Then you get into chapter number 29, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, he opened up the doors to the house of God. And you'll see a great revival taking place from chapter 29 on through. Boy, I'm thank God for the house of God. I'm glad the doors ain't shut. I'm glad the doors are open to whosoever will, man. And this is a place where you can get your batteries charged if you are saved already. And if you're lost, I'm glad that you'll get hit with a gospel gun at some point or the other, that the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The choir sing about it. The blood of Jesus is still what is needed. What is necessary to not just wash part of your sin away, but to wash it all away. I'm glad it's sufficient. Thank God for the house of God. But Ahaz, Hezekiah's daddy, shut the doors to the house of God. But Hezekiah came in with his reforms and his revivals and opened up the doors to the house of God. We may say more about that tonight. But then we get over here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, and the Assyrians, 8 years later, after the north has fallen, according to the Word of God, 2 Kings 18, here comes Sennacherib and the army of Assyria to do the same thing to the southern tribe, Brother T.R., to invade them. Now just imagine, if you will, for just a moment. 8 years have passed, and the folks in Judah have already witnessed. They've already saw what the Assyrian army done to their neighbors to the north. They've seen that. Now they see this mighty massed army coming up against them. Visibly, we would say they had a visible adversary. That was none other than Assyria. But what they had also was an invisible ally, which was the Lord God of heaven. And of course, we see from the Word of God, you can look at verse 1, we would call that the encampment. They encamped against Judah. Notice what the Bible said. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. So you can see the encampment, Brother Harold, of the army that's coming in against Judah. Again, imagine how the people must think because they've seen their neighbors fall 8 years prior to that same army. So the people needed encouragement. Well, Hezekiah gave it to them. Look with me in verse number 6. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With Hezekiah being in that place of authority, that position of authority as the king of Judah, he is encouraging the people. So get it. Here's the encampment in verse number 1. The people begin to look out and they see all Sennacherib and that mighty vast army coming against them, and they've already seen their neighbors fall. 8 years prior, they needed encouragement. And Hezekiah said, hey, there's more with us than there are with them. They probably looked around and they seen that visible adversary of Syria, but they didn't look around. They was an invisible ally, and Hezekiah knew that, and he had to encourage the people. But then there was empowerment. Now you see the encampment in verse 1. We see in verse 6 the encouragement, but then in verse number 7 and 8 again, you'll see the empowerment. Look again that last part, for there be more with us than with him. Then in verse 8, with him, and that's Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, is an arm of flesh. The Assyrians were waiting on their, or they were leaning upon their strength and their vast number. And there are many, many victories. You go back to 2 Kings 18 and you'll see, and through that text, you'll see the pride and the arrogancy of the Assyrian army. Nobody had been able to stop them up to that point. So they were leaning upon the arm of flesh. But the empowerment that Hezekiah said unto the people of God there in verse number 8, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now let me just throw this in before I even get to the message. We'd be a lot better off if we let God fight our battles. A lot of times we end up fighting and sparring in battles that we have no control over, and we'd be a lot better off just letting God do the fighting for us. We'd be in better shape. But now notice, we see the encampment, verse 1. See the encouragement, verse number 6 and 7. You find the empowerment in verse 7 and 8, because they're not going to lean on the arm of flesh. They're going to lean, and their strength is going to be on the Lord. But notice the establishment. I call this the establishment, and here is the message. Look at the last part of verse number 8. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The Bible said, and the people rested themselves. What they rest themselves upon, Brother Harold? Upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They were established. They were strengthened. They were stabilized. And we call that the establishment. That they're resting upon the words of the king. Now here's the message. The people would look around and maybe the outlook didn't look too good. Maybe the outlook was bleak. And sometimes you and I, we look around and we see what we're facing, and the outlook may look bleak, but I want to encourage you, try not doing the outlook, do the uplook. Directional. What's that mean, preacher? Well, the psalmist said, Psalm 121 verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes on the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know what? When you begin to look and you begin to reflect back on the goodness of God and the graciousness of God and the greatness of God, and when we look at our situation where we are, it'll pale in comparison. When you think about the greatness and the goodness and the graciousness of Almighty God, it'll put things in perspective, and they're resting on the words of the king. Now here it is. You and I may not be able to rest on the words of King Hezekiah, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can rest on the words of King Jesus. Amen. We can rest upon the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were established. They were stabilized. What they were facing, they had things around them. And by way of application, you and I today, we can rest upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the King. There are several things that I want to share with you this morning quickly. When I think about what you and I ought to reflect back on and listing and resting upon the words of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey man, listen, you might as well go ahead and buckle up, because you might not be facing nothing right now. Maybe you faced something last week or last month. You might be doing all right now. Well, honey, if you live long enough, you're going to face some other things. You're going to have some strength for the journey. You can't go in the arm of flesh. You're going to have to tap into a source that's from another world, that's out of this world. But I'm glad to tell you today that this is available to me. It's available to you. We don't have to trust and we don't have to lean upon this flesh. We can lean upon the power of God. But it's good to be able to rest in the words of the King. And again, I ain't talking about Hezekiah. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about some things we ought to rest upon. We ought to rest upon His pavilion. You know, in the Bible, several times you'll find the word pavilion. A pavilion is basically a covered place. It is a place of hiding. Did you know God has a pavilion? He's got a pavilion for every one of us. You know, Dad and I, when we, and Garrett, sometimes we go out to Illinois, there's a little place right there that's called the pavilion. It's right on the Illinois River, and I mean, it's open air, man, and I guess they close down when it gets down about 20 degrees, but you go to that pavilion and you eat, and it's a covered place. You know, the Bible said over there in Psalm 27, and in Psalm 27, verse number 5, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Now, three things He mentioned there that He'd do for us. He's a pavilion. He'll hide us in His pavilion. Again, that covered place, a place where we can be. And then the Bible said there in Psalm 27, verse 5, "In the secret of His tabernacle." You know what a secret is? That's something that nobody else knows. God's got a place where He can hide us. Ain't that good to know? Because the enemy, the adversary is always against us. We might not have the Assyrian army against us, but just rest assured, the Bible still said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." But I'm glad the Lord's got a pavilion that you and I can rest in the words of the King, a place He can hide us, and that secret place of the tabernacle where He hides us. Then He said in that last part of verse 5 of Psalm 27, He said He will set me up upon a rock. Years ago, we used to set fish baskets. Some of you will know that we could still catch those little bullheads in the Yakin River about September, October, when the fox grapes and the possum grapes get ripe. You'd go pull those grapes down, and used to make baskets all the time, and you'd put those grapes inside those mussels, and you'd go down to the riverbank and in a boat, or you could wade out sometimes the water wasn't too cold, and you throw those baskets out, and then come back a day or two later, and sometimes those fish just be plumb full, or the baskets be plumb full of those little catfish, man, some of the best eating they was. Somebody told me one time, said, "Man, you eat fish out of the Yakin River?" Sure I do. I wasn't eating nothing out of that nasty river. And I just seen him at the seafood restaurant not long ago. I said, "You like shrimp?" "Well, yeah, I like shrimp." I said, "Where do you think all that water goes, man? I mean, come on." You know what I'm saying? And I say all that to say this. A few years ago, and Garrett was just a little fella, the river got down. I don't know. That was probably around 2006, 2007, because Garrett wasn't real big at all. But the river got way down, right down below Mom and Dad's house. There's a big shoals, and that's where we always used to set our baskets. And I remember taking those baskets out, and we would go through, and you get on up in the water about like this right here. And old Garrett, you know, we would try to jump across rocks, but thank God for those rocks that were above the water that you and I could get set up on. And when I think about that text and I think about Him setting us up upon a rock, you think about the floods that sometimes overwhelm us. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 61 and verse number 2, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Some of you may feel like you're suffocating today. Some of you may feel like, "Man, I'm just swimming and I feel like I'm going to drown." I'm glad He's got a hiding place. I'm glad He's got a pavilion. He's got a secret place that the devil can't find you. Praise God. And if He does, and those waters begin to encamp against you, He'll set us upon a rock. I'm telling you, you and I need to rest upon the words of the King. He's got a pavilion. Not only has He got a pavilion, but thank God He's got some peace that you and I ought to rest upon. There's something about the peace of God. The world cannot comprehend. The world cannot understand it. The best way I've always been able to explain that, Brother Brandon, is this. If you look at the word peace, you can probably pull up in the dictionary, it will say something like this: the absence of conflict. That's the world's peace. The world would define peace as the absence of conflict. But God's peace is, in spite of the conflict, there's still a calm. There's something about the peace of God. When health issues come, it's good to have the peace of God. When death comes, oh man, it's good to have the peace of God. When troubles come, when the adversary comes against us, it's good to have the peace of God. That's something you and I can rest upon. Think about it now. He is our pavilion, but He's also our peace. Think about Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, why did He say that? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the world can't comprehend it. It don't make sense when a child of God that's holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ is holding on to them regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the issue, regardless of the obstacle, of the problem, whatever they're facing in life, they've still got joy in their heart. How in the world is that possible, preacher? I tell you, there's peace that's out of this world, peace that's from another world that you and I can tap into, and you and I better learn how to rest in the peace of God, because our hearts are prone to wander. Our mind is prone to wander. For example, some of y'all have done this. I guess we all have. Let's say you go and, all right, you go and you have a physical. Let's say you go have a physical, TR. Your number's going to be elevated. You might get your my chart or whatever that stuff is, you know, before you get to go see the doctor. Now, stay with me now. I'm right here where we live. And my chart pops up and you see something ain't right on there. Or let's say it's a Friday. Well, you know you ain't going to see the doctor till Monday. So you're going to sit there and think about, man, what does that mean? You're going to start Googling. Elevated, da-da-da. Now, before long, man, you got stage 4 cancer. Amen. Your mind wanders. And we fret. We're not supposed to. Our heart wanders. Don't ever tell anybody they got a good heart. Because the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You read Jeremiah 17. That's what it says. Don't ever follow your heart. Oh, just follow your heart. Worst advice you'll ever give anybody. Your heart will lead you astray. But the Word of God said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We better learn not to rest on the words of King Hezekiah. We better learn to rest on the words of King Jesus. Thank God there's a pavilion where He'll hide us, a secret place that the devil don't know nothing about. And if he can find us, thank God He can set us up on a rock. When we get overwhelmed, thank God there'll be a rock that is higher than you and I. But there's a peace that comes. But think about this. What about His presence? We ought to rest upon His presence. Makes all the difference. You take a child, or I remember even Garrett when he was little too, and a lot of times it makes a difference when somebody's with you. Let's say a kid might be afraid of the dark. They're going to handle the dark better if they got a parent with them. Somebody there with them. We better rest upon the presence of the Lord. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about His presence, and we better rest upon that. There's going to be times when we're going to need that. Again, you may say, preacher, hey, I'm doing good right now. Well, praise the Lord. You just hang on, buddy. You better put it on credit, because they're going to come a day when you ain't going to be doing so good, and you're going to have to tap back on this, and we better learn how to rest in His pavilion, that hiding place. We better learn how to rest in the peace of God that'll keep our hearts and minds from wandering around and fretting and worrying about things. But then there's a presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 17 said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. That liberty, thank God, there's freedom. You know what? I'm thankful, Brother Brandon and Brother Danny, that the day the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, I'm glad He washed me of all of my sin. Amen. Didn't give me a license to sin, by the way, but He saved me from sin. And I've got liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's His presence. He's there. There's liberty. There's nothing more liberating than having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since I've been saved, Brother Kevin, I have not been perfect. I stumble every day. That thing that I shouldn't be doing, that's what I find myself doing. That thing that I should be doing, I find myself not doing it. Just like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 7. But it's something good to know that there's a good standing between you and the God of heaven, and the God in heaven with you, and to thank God for His presence. We better lean upon Him. The psalmist put it this way. In Psalm 16, in verse number 11, think about this. He said, over there, thou wilt show me the path of life. Listen, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, in that scripture, the presence of the Lord, the psalmist said in Psalm 16, 11, he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. When you got the presence of the Lord, we rest upon Him, there is to be fullness of joy. That's not the only time you find in the Old Testament. The New Testament talks about it. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. God wants our joy to be full. Well, how in the world can our joy be full? The psalmist understood. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist understood tapping in and leaning and resting upon the presence of the Lord. I couldn't tell you the times that God helps us. Whether you're singing, whether you're preaching, whether you're out witnessing, or whatever you're doing, maybe that hardship, maybe that trouble that you're facing, that difficulty that you're dealing with, man, when you rest upon His presence. There's a lot of folks, I don't see how they make it. We make this statement all the time, how in the world do people go through life? How do they make it without the Lord? How do they make it? I don't understand it. You don't have to be that way, because we can rest upon His presence. You know, I hope you understand this. You, Faith Community Baptist Church can do without me. Can I tell you this? Faith Community Baptist Church can do without you. But we can't do without His presence. We can't do without His touch. There's not a man or a woman in here that can save anybody. Only God can do that. You got to have His presence. So we better learn to rest in the presence of the King. We better understand it. But notice His power. Think about His power. Now, there's a lot of things I could say about the power of God that He has at His disposal. All the things that He does. This morning, got up, and you go down 67, there's a certain time, man, that sun, if you're going east when the sun's coming up, the sun's going to be in your eye. If you're going west at sundown, the sun's going to be in your eye. Because that 67, man, that's probably one of the straightest roads around here, seem like. It just runs pretty much east and west. And that sun's always in your eyes. But you know, when that sun comes up, you know who made that possible? God did. You could go outside right now and you look at these trees that have started being full bloom. You see these flowers that are bursting forth. Man, that's not evolution. That's a Creator that makes sure that everything and all things by Him, they consist. The Colossians tells us that, but you think about His power. Hebrews chapter number 1, the Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, the Bible said, by whom also the worlds are made, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Listen, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now that's a mouthful in Hebrews chapter number 1, but I think about upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. You look in the Old Testament, man, that priestly ministry, they're always serving. They couldn't let the lamp go out. They had to do something all the time. They're always busy standing up. But I'm glad our high priest, I'm glad our advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He had purged our sins, thank God He sat down. That lets us know that John 8:19 and verse number 30, Jesus said, one of the cries from the cross, it is finished. In other words, it's paid in full. Thank God everything was took care of. And think about the power of God for just a minute. Sure, we can look at the sun. Sure, we can look at the moon. Sure, we can look at the stars. We can look at creation. We can look at how things are coming to life in the spring. And then God will pull out His paintbrush about the fall of the year, and we see all of that. But even greater than that, think about the power that Jesus had at His disposal when He hung between heaven and earth and He purged my sin and He purged your sin. We better learn to tap into and to rest upon the power of God. We better do that, because you think about His pavilion. Thank God He's got a hiding place for us. A secret place that the devil don't know nothing about. And if the devil does find us, man, he'll just set us up on a rock when those waters begin to overtake us. Thank God for His peace that'll keep our hearts and our minds from wandering through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the peace of God which passed all understanding. Then there's His presence. We got to have His presence. As the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, a lot of times, and it amazes me, I've seen some of God's people go through some of the greatest trials and the greatest tragedies that you could even imagine, and they still got a smile on their face. How's that possible? They've learned to rest. They've learned to rest upon the words of the King and His presence. And then there's power in His hand, upholding all things by the word of His power. But then there's plenty. We better learn to rest upon that. You know what? I've never said, man, you just come to Christ and boy, he'll make you as broke as you've ever been. No. Psalmist said in Psalm 38, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you ever taste Him, you'll have to agree that He is good. And there's plenty. David, a man after God's own heart. David had done a survey of his life when he got older. Brother Evan, he looked down back through time from the time he was a little boy, and he probably looked back and he probably remembered when he was anointed there in Jesse's house. He probably remembers when he faced that lion. Probably remembers when he faced that bear. Probably remembers when he faced Goliath over there in the Word of God. A lot of times he would look back and all the way through his life. And then he'd come down to Psalm 37 and verse number 25. He said, I've been young and am now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What was David basically saying? He's basically saying, man, he's been enough. He's got a bountiful supply. Thank God he'll meet that need. He's got a plenty. And I think about Philippians 4 and verse number 19. And I understand that context talks about as people give. And as you give, the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We better understand when you're going through something that he won't just be enough. He'll be more than enough. And there will be plenty, but we've got to learn to rest upon that. Not only that, we need to learn to rest in His preservation. Listen, we can rest in His pavilion. We can rest in His peace. We can rest in His presence. We can rest in His power in the words of the King Jesus. We can also rest in His plenty, but we can rest in preservation. Now, Grandma used to make those old pear preserves. I can still smell that. She had a big old pot, and she cut up those pears And man, that stuff would roll. I mean, it was so thick. And she would roll that stuff up and she'd make pear preserves. Now listen, I never was a fan of pear, but in a strawberry sun. Now, I think I told y'all Smucker's. If you don't get some Smucker's preserved strawberry, that tastes like Grandma's. It really is. I can't believe that, but it does. But you know what? You think about those preserves, you preserve things and you put them and they last. Well, thank God we've got to rest upon His preservation. Well, what does it mean to be preserved? Well, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, listen, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now there's a 3-point message right there in that text alone. Think about the preservation, how we preserve. Again, we're not holding on to Jesus, He's holding on to us. The Bible said who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. You see the preservation, we are kept. You see the reservation, reserved in heaven for you. You see the presentation at the last time. What's that presentation going to be? Well, you just go to Ephesians chapter number 5. One of these days, honey, we're going to lay this old cloak of flesh down. This old robe of flesh is going to drop, and we're going to rise to the glory of God. And Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 27 said that, hey, He's going to present that glorious church without wrinkle and without spot and not having any such thing as that. We're going to thank God undefiled. God's going to present us one of these days. Not based on our good works, but based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are preserved, kept, and protected by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be things that's going to knock you sideways. There's going to be times when you're going to look around just like this army was in 2 Chronicles 32. You done seen some of your neighbors already fall along the way. Now that old enemy's come to your house. And you're going to be confronted. Well, what are you going to do? Well, listen, this crowd, they rested in the words of King Hezekiah. We got something better than that, Brother T.R. We can rest in the words of King Jesus. He's got a pavilion. He's got some peace we can rest upon. Thank God His presence is what we need. His power, we've got to have it. He's got plenty. He's got preservation. But think about this. He's got a promise. He left a lot of promises. But just get this. In 1 John, there's two scriptures I'm going to give you, and I'm done. There's a promise that He gives us that we better rest upon. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Did you know He promised us, Brother Randy, eternal life? Every one of us in here has been promised eternal life. You say, preacher, I ain't saved. Hey, you still going to live eternally. You'll spend your eternity in a place called hell, and then you'll eventually be in the lake of fire, which all that can be avoided by trusting Christ today. Some folks say, well, man, you know, the preacher's really too narrow-minded. You know, the church, the Baptist church is too narrow-minded. They say Jesus is the only way. Well, that's what God said. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. Listen now, think about the promise. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Our society and our world does not like absolutes today. They don't like black, they don't like white. I'm just using that as an example. You know, the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, there'll come a day when they'll call evil good and they'll call good evil. If we ain't arrived, man, I don't know what we are. But understand the promise that God had made to you and I. That's what we lean upon. That's what we rest upon. I'm not banking on my good works to get me to heaven, because that wouldn't ever be enough. I'm not banking on my reputation. I'm not banking on my testimony to get me to heaven. I'm banking on a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been given eternal life. He gave a promise to me, man, that there's life. This life, this eternal life, is found only in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these things ought to help us. Because you're going to face things in life. You're going to have a visible adversary that may look bigger than you are. But thank God we got a pavilion, a covered place, a hiding place, a secret place that He talked about over there in Psalm 27, verse number 5. And boy, if the enemy still comes against us, before we get covered up and we drown, thank God He'll set us up on a rock. Thank God for the peace of God, because our hearts and our minds are prone to wander. I'm glad the peace of God can keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God for His presence. As the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, over there about His presence, there's fullness of joy. Man, ain't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? We as God's people ought to be joyful. We ought to be happy. We ought to be exuberant. Preacher, ain't you seen what's going on in the world? Yeah, I see it all. But thank God I ain't holding on to that arm of flesh. I've tapped into a power from another world. The one that through His hand, He purged my sin. He purged your sin. He's enough. There's plenty there. Again, David done that survey, and he come back and said, man, I'm young, and I've been young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. What a testimony that is. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. And there's preservation for you and I. We're kept by the power of God, but there's a promise. But if you're here today and you've never been saved, you never trusted Christ, man, that's your greatest need. You're going to die in your sin one day apart from Jesus and go to a devil's hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But all that can be avoided by trusting Christ today. Preacher, how can you be so sure? Hey, we rest upon the words, not of King Hezekiah, but on the words of King Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. As Sister Savannah comes, let's stand all over the house.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.